Wow. Hey.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. You know, I didn't check the internet connection. It looks like we are low. So hopefully, yes, I'm on the 2G, not the 5G. Sorry, guys. Hopefully the video is good and the sound is good. The words probably don't match up with my lips moving. I look like one of those Godzilla King Kong movies.
Oh, the Japanese dubbed movies?
Yes, I do. How was church today?
Church was amazing, as always.
Yeah.
Pastor Jack was hilarious.
He was funny.
He was hilarious.
We'll be talking a little bit about that after the devotional for today. We went to Flirtness Grill.
Flirtness Grill.
I'll fix it. I can't type on my phone. Oh, as our friend Mark likes to, he goes, "You can't spell, you racist." I think it's
because you don't want to wear your little glasses.
No, I have fat thumbs. Oh, right. And the O always turns into I, and the I always turns into O every time. Yeah. Every time.
I have troubles with the E's and the W's.
Oh, yeah. And just side by side. So did you say hi to everybody yet, or are we just kind of talking amongst ourselves? Hi. Hey, if you're watching, make sure and comment and let us know that you're watching, where you're watching from. If you went to church today, where you go to church, that would be fun to know where you go to church.
Absolutely. And whose church is open?
Yes. And who's your favorite pastor, if you're watching? We'll be talking about Calvary Chapel, Chuna Hills, and our pastor, Jack Hibbs.
We love.
And we should also talk about our other pastor, Mark Driscoll.
Yes.
An amazing message.
Amazing. Right,
another good one. So we're talking about both of those. Let's first get to the devotional. And I wish I could change my internet connection, but if I do, it'll go black for a second. So I don't want to do that. So if it's horrible, let me know and then I'll do that. I'll connect with a different internet connection. But
there's a comment.
Let's see. That came in too fast.
Hi, y'all. Hello. You let us know if our words are kind of jumbled and we're buffering.
Yeah, well, here we go. We're going to read the devotional and then we'll find out after the devotional and after I get rid of the frame. Wow. What's going on, Hedia? You're the one who's supposed to be responsible for this.
Oh, no.
From now on.
I can't take that. It's too much pressure.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here we go. So we are reading from Utmost Forest Highest. Oh, I didn't do the thing. Oh, well. It's
Living
Sunday.
Living Emotional, go to the app. Give us 5 stars, please. Tell everyone how great God is.
Right, that. All right, we're reading from My Utmost Forest Highest by Oswald Chambers. We learned a lot about Oswald yesterday, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, huh? And his wife actually wrote the book based on her transcription of his words during, you know, she was always with him, taking notes, kind of like you with me.
See that?
It's amazing. And what's great about having, let me come back. I'm sorry, we're talking without being here. What's great about you typing and writing up the notes is that I sound way more articulate from the notes than I do from actually the words I said. Because you're... That's my favorite part.
That's my magic.
Yes, it's pretty good. All right, so let's go back. We'll go back here. Here we go, reading from my devotional. And for April 18th, it's called Readiness. And the reference is Exodus 3:4. I'm not sure if we've had anything from Exodus before that I remember. And it says, God called to him and he said, "Here I am." When God speaks, many of us are like people in a fog and we give no answer. Moses' reply to God revealed that he knew where he was and that he was ready. Readiness means having a right relationship to God and giving the knowledge and having the knowledge of where we are. We are so busy telling God where we would like to go. Yet the man or woman who is ready for God and his work is the one who receives the prize when the summons comes. We wait with the idea that some great opportunity or something sensational will be coming our way. And when it does come, we are quick to cry out, "Here I am." Whenever we sense that Jesus Christ is rising up to take authority over some great task, we are there, but we are not ready for some obscure duty. Readiness for God means that we are prepared to do the smallest thing or the largest thing. It makes no difference. It means we have no choice in what we want to do, but whatever God's plan may be, we are there and ready. Whenever any duty presents itself, we hear God's voice as our Lord heard his father's voice, and we are ready for it when the total readiness of our love for him. With the total readiness of our love for him, Jesus Christ expects to do with us just as his father did with him. He can put us wherever he wants, in pleasant duties or in menial ones, because our union with him is the same as his union with the Father, that they may be one just as we are one. Be ready for the sudden surprise. Be ready for the sudden surprise visits of God. A ready person never needs to get ready. He is ready. Think of the time we waste trying to get ready once God has called. The burning bush is a symbol of everything that surrounds the person who is ready, and it is on fire with the presence of God Himself.
Amen.
The wisdom says sincerity means that the appearance and the reality are exactly the same.
Ooh, that's deep.
That's actually not bad. That's a good little saying, but I'm not sure what it has to do with the devotional. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Or maybe I just don't understand. I'm just a little immature.
No.
In my walk?
No. You just gotta give it more thought.
I guess so. So many things come to mind. Maybe I'll come up with one and then I'll have you, and then I'll maybe finish up on the second one that I have. But, you know, the menial task is an easy one. Be ready for God to say, you know, the other day, one of the kids plugged the toilet, mm-hmm, and you got that plunger and you were ready to solve that problem.
So was
God
it
said, hey, Hedia, put down your old Beverly Hills, the old woman, and grab that plunger. Don't grab the help. Don't call for the help. And you grabbed that plunger and you are working it.
Not successfully.
Well, you were trying. I did. That's all that matters. I think God does. I don't really think God cares whether you finish the task. Just you give it the best effort that you possibly can. And then you keep trying. And you kept trying.
I did.
And you came back. So how do I do this again?
I tried a good 20 times.
In and out. In and out.
I really did try.
But I wanted to bring that up because I was so that is like going to be one of my great memories of you with a plunger. It's really going to be great. Is it okay? Is it okay that I brought that up?
Oh, I mean, it's too late now. That's okay. I don't know. Don't judge me. I've never plunged a toilet before.
So my question, is that what this devotional means? Something like that with us? Or is it more like out for... more for a benefit of God? I think it is for our kids to see you grab a plunger and go in there and try to go to work. I think that's good.
It's also a huge benefit for me. It was extremely humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and so my question to you, and you probably have something else to talk about, but what else do you think is more important? That
I don't think anything's more important than the lesson that God's trying to teach us.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't have to go so deep that it means we have to go build a house and...
No, he's saying, everybody wants the big extraordinary task. Go lead the army to rebel forces. But it's showing up for the menial ones. I told you the other thing was washing dishes by hand, but a dishwasher.
Yeah.
It's showing up.
That was too easy. That's why I went to the plunger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's showing up when God calls you. It's an expression I tell you often the Lord has said to me. Is battle tested, combat ready. And the combat can be anything. It could be externally, it could be internally. Most of the time, the combat is with myself. Mm-hmm. Humility, arrogance, anger, fear, anxiety. It's just be ready to take that on. And he plunges me constantly into, no pun intended, into situations that test my resolve. Mm-hmm. And, I just want to be ready.
Another thing that I find admirable. Is that really good to say about a wife? That sounds like something you say to like a
colleague.
Like a colleague. Anyway, what's admirable?
We're battle buddies.
Is that, you know, we had this fantastic night last night with the kids and everything. We may or may not talk about that a little bit later on, but we had so much fun, and then went to bed with smiles on our face, and then woke up this morning and again,
big smile.
but getting ready. We went to bed late last night. All the kids went to bed like at 11 o'clock, almost midnight. And I was kind of thinking, wow, it's not going to be pretty, you know, this morning. It was fantastic. The kids are all in the truck ready to go at the early message. We didn't have to wait and go to the afternoon. And so here we are and on this, you know, kind of upbeat. And then what I found admirable is that you get to church and you have somebody who's suffering, you know, from a relationship struggle. And not happy, they're crying and that kind of stuff. And you step right up. That's another, I think, that, you know, it's not a menial task, but it's off the track, right? You suddenly have to shift to this other.
That's so amazing you say that because I thank you for acknowledging that, because I really went through that in my mind. Is that I was
so sorry.
Sorry, folks. Is that I was saying to myself, Lord, you're asking me to do this right now. Like, I could have easily found a way of getting out of it, but it was like, your daughter needs me, and this is what you're calling me to do right now, you know? And that's absolutely, I think that's a great example, is that we're just called to do things, and we just have to be ready. And I remember crying hysterically when the Lord told me to come out with my faith, and I was crying hysterically, like, I've been a Christian for 5 minutes. Why are you asking me to start a ministry? And he's like, because you listen. And I was like, oh, okay. So it wasn't because I was fantastic and I was so smart and I was going to do such a great job. He's like, because you're listening. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, so it's basically just show up and he'll do the rest, because that's how God gets the glory. Not because we're so fantastic, but because we are so not fantastic that he shows up and shines through.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing is that we have so many flaws and that we share them. I hope that's so. Okay. That we do that and talk about the things that we're not great at. And hopefully that helps other people understand that, God will still use you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead and talk about, is there anything, you know, maybe I completely took off your message, but what was it that the devotional spoke to you when we were reading it?
I think it's all those things. And I also, it struck me how you should not move until you hear the word of God. And my mentors constantly told me that as I was joking about with you in the car, that I was like, okay, this is it. Like, you know, the Lord had promised me a husband and promised me that would come true and you'd be a man of God. And so everybody I looked at or met was like, I wonder if that's him. And my friend's like, will you stop? Like, you will know when you hear the voice of God tell you that that's the right person, you know, like I was looking for him under every rock and tree, you know, or behind every door. And it's so important to not only move when you hear his voice and say, here I am, I'm ready, but to not move. And I think that's one of the greatest lessons. One of my mentors said, don't move until you have God's peace or you hear him say, move.
Wow. So cool. And we're, so thankful. I mean, every prayer now, I think, has to do with just thanking God of where we're at this stage in our life. And being grateful, continuing to say thank you for what's going on.
Thank you.
One other part I want to talk about, and you probably will have something to say about this too, is that when it's all talking about, and you were just talking about being ready, and readiness for God means that we are prepared to do the smallest thing. And that I wanted just that be, that we are prepared, is that in my police dog training program, the tagline was train hard, fight easy. That was a saying. It was an old Russian lieutenant back in the 1700s, 1600s, something like that. That was his. He was one of the first, you know, military men, I think, of any age that realized that hard training, realistic training, training to be ready for anything was a key to victory. That you could even have less men than if your men were ready through their training. If you over prepared, then it would be easy to win a fight. It'd be so simple.
God's methodology.
And so I was on all of our t-shirts that I would sell. It always said, train hard, fight easy. It was on our website. It was everywhere. And that's the first thing that I thought about. Before the last year of where I'm at today, I prepared for everything else. I did not prepare for my life with God. I didn't train hard at all. I skated through. I don't even think I skated through. The hardest thing I did was drive to church on Sunday and sat my butt in that chair. That was the hardest thing I did. I have to occasionally stand up for worship. Oh. That was the preparing that I did.
And now
daily okay. And prayer and reading his word and asking you questions about things I don't understand. Like, how does that come up? And then listening to Jack, we're going to talk about Jack, hearing those words completely different. Like the things that I told you that he said today, I go, oh my gosh, Saul, Paul, that actually, I thought he just wanted to change his name, but God just didn't like the name Saul. Maybe he had Jesus had like a brother-in-law that he hated by the name of Saul, or I don't know. He didn't have any sisters, did he? He had a brother, right? I didn't know. I mean, and then Jack goes on this whole explanation, like, oh my gosh, I'd had no.
So purposeful. God is so deliberate.
So with that, it's the training, right? Train hard to fight easy when you're being attacked by the devil,
combat ready.
Right. When somebody approaches you and questions your faith, I just laugh like, ha ha ha. I got the sword and I got the armor
exactly.
of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But it's so different, Right? I did nothing for 20 years as a Christian in the religion. I did nothing to prepare for the battle.
Well, and that's why it kind of threw you off, right? Whenever bad things would happen, you're like, God, why are you doing this to me? Like, not understanding. No, it's the devil that does it. It's not God. It's and
you have to
pray your through. Or it's, right? Mark's so good.
Worse than the devil, it was me.
Pastor Mark's like, what problem in your life did you not cause for yourself? Like, why do we blame it on God? I mean, is there a single problem you could look back on and be like, you did not cause that?
Right.
So
that part hit me. So right between the eyes, that thing, like, oh gosh, that's my same. Like, it's the same.
Yes. It's the same thing.
Train hard, fight easy.
Yes. You know,
it's so much easier now. It's so much easier to click the like button and not worry about whether I'm going to mess up. I just now accept the fact that I'm probably going to mess up. But I know that every time that God gives us some words to say, it gives me maybe the right questions. It allows me to say that I don't know. That's important that I don't know. And that I don't know. We got to look it up. Does anybody out there know? So it's like this whole new way of just living my life of not just thinking that, you know, I just said, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's my Lord and Savior. And then leaving it at that. Like, you got to train. You got
to
be ready.
Isn't the humility liberating?
Absolutely.
Not having to always have the answer, not having to always be right and being teachable.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That the Lord can not only teach us, but can move in and do it on our behalf.
Absolutely.
I think that's the greatest freedom that comes from surrender. I mean, like, you know, people may ask, what are you guys going to do? Or, you know, I mean, up until last week, we didn't know where we were living. Yeah. And now it's like, well, what are you going to do? And I'm waiting for all those questions. You know, it's like, I don't know. We're just waiting for the Lord to tell us. We're going to continue being faithful at what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And if it changes and if he does assign a task to us, we're just going to be ready, however menial or however grand.
You know, it's so funny, even with me, I've lived here for 15, 17 years or something like that in this area. Mm-hmm. And I know the area pretty good. I mean, I live in La Mirada, which is not even that far away, too. It's like the very top end of Orange County. And with you now, I'm exploring. I'm seeing things that I haven't seen. I mean, we're exploring this area because this is where we're going to live.
Yeah.
Right. And figuring out where things are and how we're going to get to places and where, you know, in a relationship to the schools. And the stadiums that we're surely going to be. So it's all being prepared for the future and God showing us even the newness of the things in a place that I've lived for 15 years.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Awesome. Because I was always worried about that, like that there would be this sense of not dread, but staleness for you that, I mean, I always felt that way about LA, that I felt that I'd lived every inch of it. And so many of it had bad memories that I was, I was worried about that for you, that there would be this sort of staleness to, I'm still here. I'm still in this area. So I'm glad to hear that there's an excitement and a newness to it.
Yeah, as long as it's not Anaheim. Because when I drive through Anaheim, I go, oh, yeah, I remember I shot somebody there. Oh, I remember I got shot out there. Oh, I remember that my dog bit somebody there. Oh, I remember that's where that's where those bodies were that I went and I found. So as long as it's not Anaheim. Okay. Then we're good. Or else it'll be about yellow tape and lines around a dead body on the ground. our little teepees on the shells that were shot in a gunfight. I know none of that sounds fun, but as a cop, that's kind of those are kind of fun calls to go on. I know, it's so weird. All right, so I want to just talk about Exodus before we move on to the next subject, and that is Exodus 3:4. Which is the reference for this particular devotional. It says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside, let me try that one more time. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am.
Let's just think of the magnitude of that.
Yes.
God is calling you from a burning bush.
Yes.
And Moses' instinct, instead of running or trying to put out the fire or wondering how in the world is this bush on fire and talking, he's like, here I am. You know, that's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great example of the Lord calling us in extreme circumstances too, where you may think a building's on fire, but the Lord's calling you to something. And we're discovering this now that God is in the midst of everything. Like, he's even last night, I want to use it as an example. It was, I'm driving and every weekend is entirely unpredictable. It's entirely unpredictable when Andy has the kids, just because we never know how it's going to work out. God bless them. They're all like, if they're all together, there's a lot of them. Where are we going to go? Who needs what? What are we going to do with each one? And Andy texts me that his oldest daughter, Courtney, we're supposed to go to dinner with. And that just completely threw me off. I was like, we did. We said we're going to do it. I'm like, what are we going to do with the other half of the kids? And then my daughter suddenly was coming and I was like totally thrown off by it. And I texted back. I'm like, great, with a little happy face. So good to text sometimes, because I didn't need to let him in on the insanity that was inside my head. Because sometimes I let him in on the monsters and he's like, next time, can you just leave those monsters in their cage? So I got here and we're just like, OK, which kid is coming? Which kid is not coming? And it turned out to be the most, I told Andy, literally one of the top five best experience I've had with the Falco family as the newest members. And it was so unbelievably joyous and so beautiful. And his eldest daughter, who's quite different in age, different mother than the kids that live with you, was like the glue between our children. And it was, I think, a very unique place for her. I mean, she did that for you during COVID, mm-hmm. but now to do it with my child too, and serving as the glue that binds my child to his children, it was just beautiful. It was really, mm-hmm. really beautiful. And to think that the Lord has obviously predestined all of this. And here I am in an anxious state, worried about like who's going to eat what and are they going to be upset that one stays home and one does, like, because I don't know how to manage more than one child, you know? And I just, you know, I just surrendered it all to the Lord and he just showed up in all of his glory.
It was an amazing time.
It really was.
It was so good to see the laughter, there's nonstop laughter
and literally
hugging and high-fiving and
playing and comedy
good.
Show and his son did this
eating so much sushi that I wanted to burst.
I had never seen three people consume so much food. My family are big eaters, but looking at my daughter and his daughter and Andy just literally go to town. I wanted to eat sushi just to enjoy that experience that they looked, this euphoria that they were having. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful to watch. That food could bring so much joy.
Yes. And then the girls put makeup on Kelly, which you were about to say, and yes. he turned into a new character, Pablo Jimenez.
Yes.
And
hysterical.
So entertaining.
Absolutely. And I mean, here's this kid who's blonde hair, blue eyed. It looks like your typical beach boy, but he's got Mexican in him. I mean, like, he's supposed to be Mexican, you know, Mexican American Indian. And he did this whole routine, like identifying with some of these aspects of his roots. And he's like, I think I'm going to go back to Jimenez, because he goes by Falco. He doesn't have Jimenez as a last name. He's like, now I'm Pablo Jimenez. It was adorable.
Yeah, he was owning it.
He was.
It was pretty good. Such a good time. Where did we start with that? Oh, the burning bush.
The burning bush.
Because I was thinking about the burning bush. I one thing I've always wondered, if it's a little tiny bush or a big gigantic bush. Okay. Like if it was a little tiny bush, then you know nobody was inside, you know, throwing their voice like, oh, no, like, you know, like.
And it's
like,
so funny.
Like Peter could have been in there. Like Peter, watch, or not even know who was one of Moses' friends. I can't even think. Like, would have been like behind a rock.
Aaron.
Yeah, like Aaron would have said, oh, yeah, this is God.
I picture a tumbleweed.
Really?
Yeah. Like
I've seen it many different ways. I've seen a little tiny. I've seen it huge.
Interesting. I didn't think.
And I just wonder. You wonder why God's like, what do we do today? What do we do to Moses? I know. Like, this is what I do with the kids.
How did God think of a burning bush?
Think of a new thing for them to do, like for their birthday or for Easter. Like how I come up with these different things that I want them to do. Like, why
did you think of a burning bush?
Yeah, I goes, you know what? This is gonna be so funny. This is gonna be something that they're gonna write in the Bible that, you know, people are gonna be reading, and they're gonna be so confused. Like, why the burning bush? Like, right. I don't understand. And why speak out of the burning bush?
I don't know. Does anybody out there know the symbolic meaning of a burning bush other than being on fire for God? I'd love to hear it.
I think, and I wonder, was it dark or light? Was it daytime or nighttime?
I think it was day.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know enough about this stuff. And I've heard the story a thousand times, right? I even saw Charlton Heston. You know,
and that's the only reason I know it's daytime, to tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
I don't remember the scripture describes.
It was in a stage warehouse where they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they probably had some
They depicted it in like almost like dusk.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, if it was at night, I kind of see the fire, get his attention. Right. And she'll poof.
But he wouldn't have known it was a bush. So it had there been light enough that he knew.
So crazy. Anybody have any
thoughts? But the point being, folks, that God can speak to you anywhere, through anything, at any time, and be ready.
Do you think he always used a God voice too? Or do you think God has a voice like Woody Allen?
No.
No? Because Woody Allen's Jew.
I don't know.
Yo, you got to wonder, though. Like, we always want to go, hi, this is God.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, hi, this is God. I knew it's not that.
Another Ben Shapiro's voice.
Yeah. No. What if, though?
And he asked me, he's like, do I sound like that? I was like, oh, God, no. I would have laughed. I would have been like, God, you did not tell me he was going to have a voice that, like, literally grates on my nerves. I couldn't live the rest of my life with a man whose voice grates on my nerves.
I always tell her about this Ben Shapiro. I go, Ben Shapiro, how to really, oh, she goes, no, I'm not watching it. Sorry. Just not very nice. No. But what if God's voice, what does he sound like to you? Is it like,
I mean, I heard the audible voice of Christ and it definitely didn't sound like that, but it was, the voice that I heard was, I don't know how to describe it. It's more like the movies where it's like a sweet voice. And I don't know if that's why it sounds like that to me. So it's not high pitched. It's not low pitched. It was soft and sweet, but very clear. It's the best way I have to describe it.
God's voice to me sounds like George Clooney.
Because you sound like George Clooney.
All right. Oh, folks. Anything else on this one? Do we want to read John too? Also, yes. John 17:22 says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one. And you told me.
Well, this is part of John 17 where the Jesus Christ is talking to the Father and being praying for us, basically saying, may they learn to love one another and be one together as you and I, the Father and Christ, are one. Mm. And that we, as one church, are one in Christ, and by virtue of being one in Christ, are one with our God the Father. And the notion of unity and I like to call it transcendental unity, meaning like it's otherworldly, this kind of union that he describes in John 17, I think we can read over and over again and really not understand the magnitude of. Mm-hmm. But it's his constant plea to us that we would love each other and treat each other and be there. Like the example you gave of supporting my friend this morning was that, like, we have to feel that if one person's hurting, we're all hurting, and be ready to, at the calling to be of service to one another.
Yep, for sure. All right. Really quick, I just want to share with you this book right here. It is called Dirt Grenades. I always tell people to use a flat, not shiny. Because on TV, because on TV you got to kind of do all this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's called Dirt Grenades, and it's by Kent Craney. He's a pastor over at Friends Church. Wow, I can't remember the name of the church that I went to for 20 years. Friends Church in Yorba Linda, and it's about him and his father. His father and him actually used to do a talk. You know, if you can see him on the back there. But him and his father used to do a talk. His dad's a pastor also, and they would do a talk on raising sons. And so this book is about raising sons, and it's doing really well. So I'm going to put the link into the chat. If you could buy it today for $2.99, that'd be awesome. He's at number 14, number 18, and number 31 in the first three categories, which is really great, which means he's a best-selling author, but I want to get him to number one. So if you haven't bought it yet, go to this link and buy the Kindle version. That would be awesome if you could do that and help them get to another one. And it's a really good book. Sometimes I tell people to buy the books and they're not even written yet half the time. This one's written, as you can see here. He already gave me a copy. So it's already written and it really is good. I'm going to get a couple of chapters and just talking about raising boys into men in a godly fashion. And they did a really good job. The talk that they used to do together, his dad passed away not too long ago. It's really good talk.
Beautiful.
All right. So I don't have any video of either Jack's talk today or Mark's, which is Mark must do like five messages.
You have just two on Saturdays now, three on Sundays. So
yes, they're five. Let's first talk about Mark. So Mark's message really kind of hit you at a very important time. You're writing this article that's going to blow people away again.
And the other one wasn't.
Yeah. I want to see. if you could surpass the number of comments, the number of attacks, more than, they're not even comments. Some are like just straight on attacks. So what was it that really kind of stood out to you on Mark's message? It's the whole message is great.
It's really, I've posted it on my personal Facebook page and I'm telling people it's pure fire because he talks about how he goes around as a young pastor to all of these churches of different denominations. And they're asking, cause he's a youth pastor. I mean, he's a senior pastor, but he's young. Mm-hmm. So they're asking him, how do we bring the, there are all these like very empty dead churches. And they call him in to say, hey, how do we bring young people into the church? And he's like, well, it's very important that you preach Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that he died, was raised again, you know, died for our sins, came back to life, died, you know, and for us to have redemption from our sins and to be born again and live this eternal life. And they're all looking at him and he says, blank faced. Mm-hmm. And like, what do you, and then he says, one guy raises his hand and says, what if we don't believe that? And he's like, you don't believe that, you're going to hell. And he's like, and he said, the more he traveled across the, I knew somebody would answer.
Okay, yeah.
And we'll get back to that. But that he traveled across the country and church after church that he went to, he's like, churches are filled with Christians that don't believe in Christ. And he says, our biggest threat to Christianity in America is that people are not really Christ followers. They actually don't know Jesus Christ. They're just nominally Christians. They're culturally Christians. And so it was so brilliant. But the sweetest part is that he says that God always, and he refers to how God refers to his remnant, that in the time of Elijah, when there was all these prophets that were following Baal, the pagan gods. And then he's like, but God left his remnant. And he's like, Elijah was going, I'm the only one left. And I was like, I got 5,000 like you. What are you talking about? Not the only one left. It's like, get a hold of yourself. And so Pastor Mark was making this analogy that everywhere he went, he called them like one church, he called the Golden Girls. He says they lost their church. The denomination took it over, tried to sell the building. And he's like, five old ladies kept this place alive until the new set of people came in and that they were able to hand deliver this to the Church of Jesus Christ. Mm. But they never gave up and they never let go. Wow. And he says that everywhere you go, the Lord will leave his remnant. So don't ever dismiss a church. Don't ever dismiss a group of people as all unbelievers or all pagans or all apostates. He's like, God always leaves his remnant. And you never know when we're called to be the remnant.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what really spoke to me about it is that I'm getting so much criticism about talking about this country as being founded on biblical values on a Christian publication by Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, what is happening right now? And so this really spoke to me because that's what Mark's saying. He's like, the people you that are around you that are calling Christians are not Christians. Mm-hmm. They're not followers of Christ.
And just a reminder of what you were talking about, and you said it, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that he was speaking to a bunch of pastors of Lutheran churches.
Yes.
He was talking to pastors, and the pastor said, what if I don't believe?
Like, you're going to hell. And he's like, in your robe, you better make sure it's fire retardant because you're burning. I'm like, I hope he said that because that's dope. So, yeah.
That was so good. I mean, not good. I mean, it's really bad.
Right.
That he has this even as a story to tell. It is horrible.
Yeah. It's really
just crazy.
But it just gave me comfort to know that I'm not alone in experiencing this, but that a couple of things, because my chief executive editor, Dr. Robert Land, was one of the only people who ever witnessed to me in my life before I became a Christian. I was in a very high level meeting with him at the White House, and I went up to him afterwards and I was like, Dr. Land, he's this very statuesque, he's very got a looming presence, command authority. And here I am, this young girl, and I go, Dr. Land, can I ask you why you never participate in interfaith events with us? And he looks at me and he's like, Zach, young lady, there's only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay. I was so intimidated by it. But I mean, he said this to me 25 years ago. It's so stuck with me that he would not ever compromise his values. And it's really an honor and a privilege for me now to be writing for a publication that he commandeers. But it is that spirit that they are calling me to write. They're like, don't water down the truth. Speak the truth as God gives it to you. and don't worry about anything else. And that's what I think Pastor Jack is doing. That's what Pastor Mark is doing. So whatever way in which we're called to contribute to preserving the gospel of Jesus Christ in this country, I think we need to answer the call.
Have you ever have a chance to remind him of that moment?
Not yet. Oh. I haven't had a chance to talk to him directly.
That'd be pretty good.
But Michelle told him. My direct editor told him.
So Mariama, before we get too far, go ahead and read that.
Sunset. See, I thought it was dusk, but it's sunset.
Okay.
I think it was sunset because usually the shepherd, she's referring to Moses in the bush. Because the shepherd put the sheep at its stalls and it's dangerous for the sheep to be outside at night. Wolves, lions, and much more, which hunt at night. Yeah. So it must have been around sunset. Because I remember being something between.
Yeah, it wasn't like noon.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Pretty cool. All right.
She says it's sunset.
Yeah, I like that. All right. So we had Pastor Jack today. My little tiny pea brain was swimming with all the stuff I learned today. But I mean, everything from, he talked about God or Jesus writing his name. On us?
Oh, yes. Have a new name.
That we have a new name. And to illustrate the story, and I was telling Eddie, I'm pretty sure Jack's been watching our devotionals because he's using these real life little stories to help illustrate, what's happening in the Bible. It's not true, but I was just being full of myself for a second. But he used a reference, which I totally get because I had G.I. Joes and I would do the same thing, take them out and they, have wars with them. And then they would occasionally go on a date with Barbie because my sister had a bunch of Barbies, writing my name on them.
Oh, and you wrote your name on them
too? Of course, because all of our friends had G.I. Joes too. They would get all mixed up, like who's who? And you coveted your own because you had the one with the curly hair or the blonde hair. They had all said so. That was such a great.
Well, finish the example so everybody else knows.
Well, you're going to have to, because I can't remember the whole thing. I was so excited to hear the whole thing. But when he started talking G.I. Joe, I was like, oh, now I know what he's talking about.
Well, he was using it as an analogy to the fact that God knows us and our selection occurs before we're even born. So he knew us before we were even born, as Jeremiah 1:9. And then so he uses this analogy that he goes with his friends and he would write his name on their backs. And so he says, whenever one of his G.I. Joes would go missing, he'd tell everybody, okay, shirts off. And he would make everybody turn their G.I. Joes over and look for the ones that had Jack written on them. And they were all like stunned at the first time he did this because they didn't know he'd written his name on them. And he's like, I know which ones are mine and I know who's called.
Yep.
And I've identified them. And so he used that as an analogy for us that we've got our names written on us, our heavenly names.
Yes.
Not our earthly names.
Yes.
And then he started making fun of his earthly name.
Which got me excited for what I never thought I wanted. I also want to know what my new name is going to be.
Yes.
I'm so interested to know.
Right.
And he was talking about his name being Jack, and you can't, people are afraid to say hi to him on an airplane.
Yeah. And of course, that it was way too complicated for me to understand. So I whispered to Andy, what does he mean?
Hi, Jack.
Yeah. Hi, Jack.
What? It was pretty funny because you hear kind of the wave of laughter, like it went. like people are doing the same thing. Like they means I jumped. Okay, I went to share that. It was pretty good. Then he went on with a bunch of other Jack references, which were pretty funny.
Yes.
So that was one of my favorites. And then the what was the other
Saul
one?
Saul and Paul.
The Saul and Paul. I already talked about that one.
No, but you didn't say what you loved about it, that his name changed and the meaning of the names. And
yeah, I didn't know that Saul was this, a much greater name, right? A much more like
the one that is called. Name,
the one that is called to do something, to do great things, right? And Saul, the man who's been asked to do great. And he goes, yeah, okay, Saul, I know.
You're all that.
I know you're full of all that name and everything, but your name is now Paul.
Which means little one.
Yeah, you're little. And I thought that was great because I never knew. I just thought he changed his name from Saul to Paul. I didn't know. Maybe God couldn't pronounce Saul or something. I didn't know why he changed his name. I don't know how many times I read that part of the Bible, because that's another one of those areas that are area of the Bibles that you always read or get referred to read in whatever small group you're doing. It's always there. And I probably read it. I probably 10 to 15 times. Never did I get the idea that he was changing his name. Was it necessary? I mean, was that one of the reasons why he changed his name, was to say, hey, I know that this is who you think you are, but this is who I want you to know who you are in, and under me. I am
But whether why Paul, obviously he needed an earthly transformation, but the fact that he was given his spiritual name, I think it's because he was during the time in which God would reveal that to him.
Yeah.
It's interesting because Jack renamed me, and I always thought that was my heavenly name. But then when he spoke to me, he's like, I don't know my heavenly name. I was like, oh, okay. So maybe that's not my heavenly name, and that I like you. I'm like, oh, well, then maybe God has a different name for me. But I'd actually be very surprised if I got them. Be like, oh, no, Jack, well, it's Jack like, just made that up, but here's your heavenly name.
Yeah, I have lots of names for you. Schnuggums?
Yeah. Schnuggums is okay.
Yeah, Schnuggums I can say.
Yeah. The other ones are...
Nothing bad, don't even think, but just others that I just, not. It's better not to. It's kind of like Kelly being Pablo Jimenez.
Yeah.
Is, you know, just one of those things, an ethnic thing. But, and you're my Persian princess. I've called you that too.
Yes, that's true.
But Schnuggums is one of my favorites.
Yes. I know, we're kind of silly sometimes.
So those are two of my favorite. What was your favorite?
Mine is just how much I relate to Paul and how much he describes for us the amazing joy he gets from humility, because he came from such greater background and such great pedigree and lineage that he counts it all as garbage. And he's like, it means nothing. All I want to know is that Christ lives in me and I am the righteousness of Christ. And one of my favorite verses is the Lord saying to him, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, and therefore I will boast of my weakness all the more, because he says he wants to be one with Christ, even in his death and his suffering. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, when we know how much Paul suffered and was beaten and tortured and drowned and, you know, like
shipwrecked,
all the things he went through, he got a thrill out of it.
Yeah.
The closer he came to experiencing Christ's suffering, the greater joy he had. And it's suddenly coming to me that Pastor Mark always refers to the counterfeit kingdom. Satan always counterfeits. And it's like the show we were watching where serial killers and other people that have a depraved mind take pleasure in the pain. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Satan's way of creating a counterfeit system to us trying to pursue the suffering of Christ. And trying to instead take the sons and daughters towards a depraved way, a satanic way, when really we should be trying to find the joy in the suffering of being like Christ, and the suffering of fighting addictions, the suffering of monogamy, the suffering of, you know what I mean? Like to some of the aspects of holiness that come easy for some people don't come as easy for others, and to find joy in our obedience.
Yep. And that's why we're such a threat to people that want to dominate us and to have control. That's why they're so against Christians.
If you belong to Christ, you are uncontrollable. Except by the Lord Almighty. And that he gave that example too. I love that, because he's like, yeah, if people came in this room and said, he was giving the example of North Africa where they said, just denounce Jesus Christ. And they're like, no. And he's like, what power comes over you? What of the Lord's glory comes over you that you're standing there at gunpoint and they're saying, just denounce Jesus Christ? And you're like, no.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah, that was important.
You know?
Yep.
Because how many people in America would do that?
Yep.
At gunpoint.
I mean,
we had a flu and people were like, oh, yeah, no, I don't go to church.
Yeah, don't go to church.
I don't need to go to church, you know? So.
And just in closing, is that that's what makes Jack and Mark so effective right now, is that they are speaking to the people that didn't do that. And there's a lot more of those people in the country than I think the people that hate us thought.
Yes.
The churches are, at least these churches are overwhelmed with a number of attendees that they don't know what to do. I have to park now so far away.
Right.
And it wasn't like that before. I used to park pretty close.
Yep.
Now when I come to church and I have to drop her off and the kids at the door.
We come an hour early
and then drive down the street to another parking lot that another company has allowed them to use.
Exactly.
And
8 minutes late, and we were like, whoa, down the line.
Yeah. But they were speaking directly to a large number of people that I really believe that, you know, the evildoers, I don't know what else to call them. It was a George Bush thing. Evildoers. Yes. I really think that we didn't exist anymore. That we were so few and far between.
We were easy to scatter.
Yeah.
And I loved, this struck me that the associate pastors give the beginning, like, you know, messages, the admin messages. And I love that they have the surety and the confidence to say, if you're not a Christian, please don't donate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what organization says that?
Yeah.
That says, we don't want your money because this is tithe money for those that are believers. And I was like, so, and then he goes on to say, and if this is not your church, don't give. And I'm thinking myself, I was like, are you coming up with 500 ways for people not to give you money? And it's just like, it's the calling that the church has, that they want blessed money that mm-hmm. will multiply for God's purposes. It's not just a fundraiser for the purpose of fundraising. It's like, take your tithe as worship to the Lord, and then there'll be blessing in that money to do the things that belong to the Lord.
Yep. And then they're being called to present their message on so many different platforms now, not just social media.
Fox TV.
Fox TV, ABC, NBC.
It's amazing.
In all these different cities around us. Mark is, I'm sure, doing the same thing. He's getting asked to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
This is an awesome time. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because these are two pastors, and they're sure there's more, that are not afraid. Amen. And they're preaching. Jack said, why are we preaching? Why are we talking about Romans for, you know, 10 years or whatever it is? It's because we got to thin the herd. You didn't use those words, but you say, we're hoping that maybe not everybody will come anymore. Like we can't handle everybody that's coming. So I'm preaching some stuff that's pretty difficult. And maybe, you know, those that aren't real and aren't committed to a life with Jesus Christ will stop coming. And we'll open the seats up for people that do want to walk with Jesus Christ.
Want to walk with Jesus Christ. And Mark's doing the exact same thing. He's so like, good. Listen, you're going to burn in hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. So it's like, if that offends you, then we should leave. You know, it's amazing.
But you know what Mariama's saying here?
She's saying, my name, I'm a present. That is your name.
That's
what my name means. But then Mariama, a lofty name, like Saul. I'm looking for my
So you have Jesus to go from name. Like a present to plunger.
Yeah. Or ant, caterpillar or something.
Yeah. Roly poly.
Roly poly.
You're not really roly poly.
Ladybug like?
Yes, ladybug.
Potato bug.
See, that's another nice, it's got to be something like.
It doesn't have to be like crappy.
Saul the Paul, like little.
Well, it's just a little. It didn't be gross.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a turd. It's just little. You don't have to give me a yucky name. Just a little name. Less grandiose.
Oh my gosh. You're right. All right. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
All right. We got Pastor Kent's book out there. Make sure and buy his book. $2.99. I'll give you the $2.99 if you go buy the book. We need him to get to number one. Send that link out too, if you wouldn't mind. Send it out on your social media. Just
especially for those that have boys.
Yeah. If you're a dad, if you know somebody that's a dad that has boys, send it to them and say, hey, can you buy this book? It'll be for Pastor Kent. But also it'll be for them, because when they read the book, they'll find some really cool stories and teachings about raising boys. It is really good.
Yes.
All right. That is it for me. I don't have anything else. That's I'm it. Worn out. I think I asked most of the questions and you answered the questions.
But you're tired.
I'm exhausted.
That was exhausting. No, we had a late night laughing and playing with our kids and waking up really early.
I got some crazy kids.
To get good seats, church.
And I got a new son.
Oh, Pablo.
Pablo.
It was very cute having him discover his Mexican roots.
Yes. And it was just so different.
It really was.
His acting.
It really was.
He did everything. Motions, pratfalls. I mean, he did the whole thing.
It was very
cute. It was pretty good. All right. So enough bragging on my kid. All right. We love you guys so much. I love you.
God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday.
All right. God bless. Take care.